Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is August 22nd, Wednesday. Number of news items to report upon, and then we're going to be looking at a story a little bit later on this morning that emanates from Mike Jones' Culture Wars, the July-August 2007 edition. It's entitled "The Betrayal of the Christians of the Middle East," and it's written by Gene Conti, who is a photographer who lives in Ohio. A lot of essential information there that is presented to us by Ms. Conti, and I want to take a look at that story this morning. Sorry I wasn't with you later. I had an emergency that cropped up that had to be dealt with here in San Antonio, and Hesham Talawi will be on this coming Tuesday. This coming Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, Central Time. We'll be discussing his recent trip to Palestine for 1 hour. That's this coming Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, Central Time. We are still waiting to hear from Pastor Dale Crowley Jr. as to when he will be a regular on my show. Pastor Crowley is committed to spending an hour with me a week covering some major news stories. That will be on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday. We want to get him hooked up with us on a regular basis because, of course, Dale is a very significant contributor historically to both the Barnes Review and the American Free Press and has done an awful lot in combating Christian Zionism. He will be coming to us on a regular basis from Washington, D.C. And I thought it was particularly important to have him on the show after what has happened to him where so-called corporate Christian media is concerned, where his longtime show in Washington, D.C. was canceled after a 20-year run. Very, very important to get Dale Crowley Jr. back into the mix as far as regular radio is concerned on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and he's going to be with me on Mark Dankos America on a regular basis. That will be either a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday. Depending on how Pastor Crowley's schedule clears, we will keep you posted. A lot of interesting developments, very difficult and sad developments today. CNN is reporting from Baghdad that 14 U.S. soldiers died Wednesday when their helicopter crashed in northern Iraq, according to a U.S. military statement. Separately, at least 28 people were killed and 91 wounded when a suicide car bomb detonated outside a police station in the Iraqi town of Bashi, north of Baghdad, in Salahuddin province, police said. The military said the helicopter crash was apparently not the result of an attack. It is not clear where the chopper crashed. Military said, quote, two UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters were on a night operation when one of the aircraft crashed, unquote. Quote, initial indications are that the aircraft experienced a mechanical malfunction. There were no indications of hostile fire, unquote. The dead were all members of the Army's Task Force Lightning and included four Black Hawk crew members and 10 passengers. The task force typically operates in the Tikrit area north of Baghdad. The military has launched an investigation into the crash, the deadliest since January of 2005, when a Marine helicopter crash in western Iraq killed 31 troops. Since the start of the war, 3,714 U.S. troops have died in Iraq. Seven civilian contractors have also been killed, according to CNN. There have been a string of helicopter shootdowns and accidents in Iraq this year. In January, 12 U.S. soldiers were killed when a U.S. forces helicopter went down northeast of Baghdad. The Brookings Institution's Iraq Index, a regularly updated compilation of facts about the war, said in its latest update Monday before this crash that 67 American military helicopters have gone down since May of 2003 and that enemy fire had downed at least 36. Meanwhile, a roadside bomb targeting a police convoy killed at least two civilians and wounded 12 Wednesday when it exploded on a road in northern Iraq, Tikrit police said. Seven police officers and five civilians were among the wounded. The blast occurred on a road between Tikrit and Tuz Kurmato, about 55 miles north of Tikrit. This is what CNN is reporting this morning. The quagmire in Iraq and the Middle East continues. End game yet to be determined. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be covering a series of news stories today, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we had a little bit of a glitch at my end yesterday in San Antonio. I had an emergency that came up that I had to handle, so I was not on the show live. Hesham Talawi of Current Issues TV and RBN will join me this coming Tuesday at 9 a.m. to discuss his recent trip to Palestine. So that's on tap for this coming Tuesday at 9 a.m., and I certainly apologize for not being with you yesterday. All kinds of news stories to report on today. We, of course, talked about the tragedy of this UH-60 helicopter crash, or actually two helicopters crashing in Iraq. Apparently 14 American servicemen were killed in that tragedy. That's going to continue to come up as a story, I'm sure, in many days to come. There have been a disproportionate number of helicopter accidents and tragedies in Iraq in recent months and in recent years. due apparently both to accident as well as to enemy fire. The American military is saying formally that there is no evidence that there was a hostile fire situation in this particular calamity. They are attributing this whole situation to mechanical failure. That may be true, of course, but whatever the truth of the matter is, it's further indication that this present situation going on in the Middle East is simply not going to go away in regard to future quagmires. We're going to be taking a look at a story a little bit later on this morning that appears in E. Michael Jones' latest edition of Culture Wars. That's July and August of 2007, volume 26, number 8. It's entitled The Betrayal of the Christians of the Middle East by Jean Conte, C-O-N-T-E. She is a photographer who lives in Ohio. That story is going to be well worth your time and mine in the next hour or so. Other things to report on, there's a very, very interesting release today. Endgame yet unknown, but Iran has released Dr. Hale Esfandiari from Evin prison. Many of you, of course, are aware of the fact that she was incarcerated in Evin prison in Tehran for allegedly, as an Iranian-American, working with the American intelligence community. There has been no formal proof offered on this one way or the other as to whether she was or was not. Certainly she has been very much involved as the director of the Woodrow Wilson Center's Middle East Program in Washington, D.C., which is, of course, another one of these NGOs that comes up from time to time in this crossfire between Tehran and Washington as to exactly what's going on in Iran and to what extent the United States and Israel have any role to play in it. But there's a news release today being put out by the Woodrow Wilson Center for Middle Eastern Studies, and the press contact is a woman by the name of Vicky Bear Dodson. Ms. Dodson writes in this official release coming to us from the Woodrow Wilson Center that an Iranian official this morning announced that Dr. Hale Esfandiari has been released on bail from Evin prison. Esfandiari, director of the Woodrow Wilson Center of Middle Eastern Studies, was incarcerated in Tehran on May the 8th, 2007, on allegations of endangering Iranian national security. Quote, "We rejoice at news of Hale's release," unquote, said Lee H. Hamilton, president and director of the Wilson Center. "This has been a long and trying ordeal for her and for her family. Her physical and mental well-being is now the urgent priority. We want to see her well. We want to see her to be permitted to return to the United States, and we want to see her reunited with her family. Hale has lost close to 7 months of her life. She was subjected to untold hours of interrogation and an isolation that we cannot imagine. She was denied time with her husband, her daughter, her son-in-law, her two granddaughters, and literally hundreds of other family members, friends, and colleagues who care deeply about her. We thank all who offered their prayers and their efforts on behalf of Hale's release. An extraordinary amount of people from around the world rallied to her side. We have had many interlocutors, official and non-official, on Hale's behalf. We have had many staff members at the Wilson Center who worked tirelessly in the hope that this day would come. This outpouring only reinforces Hale's life's work on behalf of dialogue, understanding, and bringing people together. We look forward to the day when Hale is fully recovered from this ordeal and she can return to her colleagues and her important work. We continue to hope and pray for the safe and quick return of Kian Tajbakshish, Parnaz Azima, and Ali Shakari, who have also been unjustly detained in Iran, unquote. Media with questions, they reach Vicky Bear Dodson at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. I have contacted Ms. Dodson via email this morning. Might be a few days before I hear from her, but I've invited her or the rep of her choice, I imagine it will be Vicky Bear Dodson, to come on this show to discuss the Dr. Hale Esfandiari situation from the vantage point of the Woodrow Wilson Center's Middle Eastern program. I'm going to ask her some telling questions. I will be, of course, fair during the interview, but I'm going to ask her for a formal explanation from the Woodrow Wilson Center in regard to the things that have been said by the Tehran government about Ms. Esfandiari and the possible relationship that she may have had to the American Central Intelligence Agency or to other American and Israeli intelligence agencies. I'm sure that that will be formally denied by the Woodrow Wilson Center of Middle Eastern Studies, and perhaps that's true. But on the other hand, there have been compelling allegations that there's more to this story than meets the eye. I personally don't know what the truth is, but I'd like to get to the bottom of it. And certainly from one side of the aisle, We would like to have this Woodrow Wilson Center's representative, media representative, on this broadcast at least for an hour or so to discuss this situation. And if I can possibly get through to the people on the other side in Tehran, who would like to have an English-speaking guest on this show to explain from their vantage point why they did what they did, we will certainly do that as well. A lot of things going on in that country, and quite clearly we see ongoing evidence as posted by Time magazine this week online from Robert Bayer, the former CIA official and agent, that the United States is allegedly going to attack Iran in the next 6 months. We've been predicting that for quite a long time on this show, that this seems almost to be an inevitability at this point. I know that Mike Piper and Mark Lynn have talked about this from time to time. Let's hope that all of us are wrong and that that's not going to happen. But it certainly looks like hostilities are in the process of taking place, and that, as Philip Giraldi of the American Conservative has already reported, one could make the claim, very convincing claim, that this conflict is already underway. There's plenty of evidence out there that in places like Azerbaijan province, for example, that American and Israeli and British black operations have already started against the Tehran regime. We have seen evidence of this in Balochistan province and Khuzestan province in Iran, with a number of things that have been reported in the international media that suggest that the Western intelligence agencies are up to something. The other thing, of course, that has been very much in the press, even in this country, however low-key, is that the United States has continued to dispatch naval forces to the region that suggests that there is at least the covert threat of an air war being launched against Tehran. The probable target would be the 12 to 20 nuclear power centers that are at issue between Washington and Tehran. There's an ongoing debate as to what the purpose of these centers happens to be. But if it happens, folks, if we think we've got problems now with Iraq and Afghanistan, I can only well nigh imagine what's going to happen if we attack Iran and do so in conjunction with this proposed idea that there also be an American military intervention in Pakistan. Apparently, the folks who are arguing for this fail to note several things. One is that we are already in trouble politically, militarily, and economically as a result of what we've done in Iraq and Afghanistan. The $50 billion war that was being prophesied by such luminaries as Paul Wolfowitz has now turned into a $500 billion endeavor with the meter still running. Most of the official explanations and estimates vary with those of some very, very intelligent people, even in the General Accounting Office, who are now saying that, well, maybe we can expect to spend $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion. The long and the short of it is that this is an outrageous sum of money for a war that need not have been fought. And it's largely money that has been borrowed money, principally from Asian banks. The United States simply cannot continue this policy. Those who say that it should continue and that we should step up the ante by pressing the pedal to the floor in regard to attacking Iran and Pakistan are simply not dealing with anything other than a very, very virulent case of lunacy, it seems to me. But this Isfandiari case has been brewing for quite some time. We're going to need to keep an eye on this story, not simply in regard to what the real truth is about Dr. Holly Isfandiari and the Woodrow Wilson Center for Middle Eastern Studies, but and whether or not she and they have been involved in American intelligence activities in Iran. But then, of course, there's also the issue of these other three individuals who are mentioned in this news release: Kian Tajbakshish, Parnaz Azima, and Ali Shakeri. Who are they? What were they doing in Iran? What were their real activities? Washington is saying one thing. Tehran is clearly saying another. And this is, of course, where we need to get into some very, very serious discernment as to what the truth might happen to be. And certainly when we go back to Christopher Petrick's book at AFP that deals with the question of what the Central Intelligence Agency was doing in Iran in 1953 and in the years that followed, this present situation is very suspicious looking, and it's suggestive of the fact that there are some things going on here that don't quite meet the tail of the tape and the overt eye as far as corporate media coverage is concerned. It would appear that what we have here is what Phil Giraldi has already told us about on this show, coming to us from the American Conservative and also from Canestraro Associates. We're talking about overt threats against the Tehran government. We're talking about economic sanctions. We're talking about overt evidence, at least in three different provinces of Iran, that there are black bag Western intelligence operations being conducted within their borders. There have been repeated violations of their airspace coming from American intelligence drones. And now we see the dispatch of naval forces and the possible use of non-governmental organizations for further intelligence activities. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or...
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chuck Baldwin, the vice presidential selection of the Constitution Party in 2004, will be with me tomorrow just for 30 minutes or so. Chuck, I presume, is probably in Pensacola, Florida this week. He is, of course, the pastor of a huge Baptist church there. And Chuck's news releases are seen all over the world in regard to the things that he has to say to us in regard to what is going on in this country. I've had a number of Constitution Party friends over the years, including Howard Phillips, whom I saw very briefly yesterday on Fox News. And, of course, that list includes Michael Perutka and Chuck Baldwin, and this very, very interesting and fine lady now from the state of Oregon, Mary Starrett, who is the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party. through Mary's auspices, I've been able to make contact with Chuck Baldwin's chief of staff, who has arranged for Pastor Baldwin to be on this show tomorrow for 30 minutes. That will be from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Central Time. And I understand that information about that broadcast is being distributed to the Constitution Party's national listserv in order that there will be obviously a lot of listeners tomorrow morning to what Chuck Baldwin has to say. Chuck has said some very significant things recently. If you go to www.chuckbaldwinlive.com, you'll see some of what I'm talking about. He has a very, very fine post, the latest one entitled America's Pastors, Preachers of Truth or Promoters of Tyranny? Pastor Chuck Baldwin, as of the 21st of August, yesterday, has a very, very pressing thing to show the rest of us in regard to where much of this is taking us. We had a caller in Florida a day or two ago, Joe, who was pointing us to a story that deals with this whole issue of what the clergy have been tapped to do by the federal government to sell federal policies that may be incredibly unconstitutional in the event of a situation where martial law might transpire. Chuck Baldwin addresses that issue, which comes to us from KSLA Channel 12, I believe in the state of Louisiana, in Shreveport. This is what Pastor Baldwin, who will be a guest on this show tomorrow, has to say. Once again, says Chuck Baldwin, the burden of responsibility to help maintain America's liberty rests upon the shoulders of the men in the pulpits. That should not surprise us because it has always been this way. Part of what made America great, Chuck Baldwin says, was old-fashioned, tell-it-like-it-is, no-nonsense preaching. Most of what we hear today is a bunch of mealy-mouthed, pussy-footing, ear-tickling, don't-offend-anyone preaching, which has largely contributed to America's current slippery slope into the sewer. But if you thought it could not get any worse, guess again. A startling television news report from Shreveport, Louisiana, has revealed a sinister plot hatched deep inside the diabolical brain cells of the Bush administration to use America's pulpits as promoters of tyranny. That is a strong statement, I know, says Chuck Baldwin, but it is true. According to KSLA Television in Shreveport, the Department of Homeland Security intends to use America's preachers to help pave the way for martial law in the event of another terrorist attack upon the United States. Chuck Baldwin lists the actual report from KSLA in this essay at chuckbaldwinlive.com. That report begins, quote, "Could martial law ever become a reality in America? Some fear any nuclear, biological, or chemical attack on U.S. soil might trigger just that. KSLA 12 has discovered that the clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us." The report continued by saying, quote, "Gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, along with forced relocation. U.S. troops also arrived, something far easier to do now, thanks to last year's elimination of the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, which had forbid regular U.S. Army troops from policing on American soil. If martial law were enacted here at home, says the KSLA report, like that depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the clergy response team helped accomplish in the wake of Katrina," unquote. The report went on to say, quote, "Clergy response teams would walk a tightrope during martial law between the demands of the government on the one side versus the wishes of the public on the other. Quote, in a lot of cases, these clergy will already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation," assured Sandy Davis. He serves as the director of the Caddo Bossier Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Quote, "For the clergy team, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or to obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans 13, unquote. Dear reader, says Chuck Baldwin, are you getting this? In order to convince American citizens to surrender their firearms to the government during a time of martial law, the Department of Homeland Security is enlisting the assistance of America's pastors. We'll be back with Chuck's essay. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is August 22nd, 2007. We've been covering a series of news stories this morning, including this tragic situation in Iraq that apparently transpired overnight, where two UH-60 Army helicopters collided, killing an estimated 16 U.S. servicemen. That seems to be a microcosm of a much larger problem when it comes to American foreign policy in the region. The question has to be begged, how much more of this are we going to put up with in regard to what this is draining the people of this country of in terms of both flesh and blood, as well as financial and political capital? Hard to say when the public's patience for this thing is going to end, but quite clearly it should be at an end and should have been at an end when Mr. Bush first suggested going into this quagmire. But this is where we are on the 22nd of August. We are getting more deeply and deeply involved in Iraq. The al-Maliki government is clearly in all kinds of trouble in Iraq, as most observers predicted that it would be. And the only thing that we see in response from Mr. Bush is the suggestion, the hints coming from some of his advisors, that maybe it would be a good idea to go into Pakistan. Maybe it would be a good idea to go into Iran. Pretty crazy stuff, folks, but this is where we are. And what are you doing about it? I hope that you're supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network. I hope that you're reading the American Free Press. And as far as a political option for this coming year is concerned, get behind the candidacy of Congressman Ron Paul. He needs your resources. He needs your volunteer time. He needs your networking capabilities. He is the only horse in the race. I said this last night to several groups that have international petitions out there involved in what is going on with Gaza, as well as what is going on with the denial of tenure of yet another American professor at a major American university. I might say more about that one before the show is over. But in my remarks to both of these sets of people with their respective petitions, I said this: the Israeli lobby clearly has a stranglehold on the candidates of both the Republican and the Democratic parties. We've talked about this repeatedly on this show. That means Clinton and Obama and Edwards on the Democratic side of the aisle. It means Giuliani, Romney, and McCain on the Republican side of the aisle, as well as probably every other Republican running, save one. And that singular exception is Ron Paul. Ron Paul is saying all of the right things about this war. He is saying all of the right things about what he would do in relation to that war if he were to be elected. He's saying the right things about the Federal Reserve Board. He's saying all of the correct things about taxes. He basically wants to get rid of the federal Leviathan, which has overstepped its constitutional boundaries in both foreign policy and domestic policy. That's the bottom line. And because he's doing that, he is the horse that we need to back in this election. I'm absolutely convinced of that. He's the only option available to you if you believe in the Constitution and if you believe in an America First foreign policy. There you have it, folks. This is what we need to get behind in the days and months ahead. But that takes resources. It takes networking. It takes recruiting other people to be involved in this process. And this is where we are at this particular juncture in time and in history. In just a minute, I'm going to take a caller from Florida. But suffice it to say that if you get a chance to, take a look at Chuck Baldwin's latest column today at www.chuckbaldwinlive.com. He's talking about the dangers of a false interpretation of Romans chapter 13 to promote policies that are clearly unconstitutional. And although Pastor Baldwin does not use the term here, I will provide the term neo-fascism to describe the direction in which we are going. Perpetual war abroad, an oppressive regime at home, the further development of a national security surveillance state within the continental borders of the United States to remove the freedoms of the people of this country as those freedoms have been understood by our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Chuck Baldwin's essay is entitled America's Pastors, Preachers of Truth, or Promoters of Tyranny. And again, he will be on this show tomorrow with me for just 30 minutes from 9 to 9:30 in the morning Central Time, talking to us about his own life and career, speaking with us about his latest essays, including the one recently issued that was entitled something to the effect of whether or not Christians had already assumed the mark of the beast. Baldwin's own political future is going to be interesting to watch as well. Will he be a possible presidential candidate for the Constitution Party in the upcoming presidential sweepstakes? I've not asked Pastor Baldwin about that directly, but he was the vice presidential choice the last time and certainly is well enough known around the country that in the wake of Jerome Corsi's decision not to run, Chuck Baldwin may have the inside track or maybe one of the people with an inside track on that nomination, and I will ask him directly about that tomorrow morning, sometime between 9 and 9:30 a.m. Central, which is when he'll be on the show. We have a caller in Florida. Joe, how are you, sir?
Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning.
I read an article the other day about a protester in South Carolina who was protesting in front of a person's house. And the guy whose house he was protesting He was an IBM executive, and he had hired illegal aliens to do his roof. And this guy had a sign saying, you know, why can't you hire an American for a decent rate? And the man had the police come and arrest him. And it was an interesting story because the media sided with the rich homeowner, and it was very interesting how panicked they were and how embarrassed they were. And I just thought we should do the same kind of thing with these preachers. We need to get a list of these preachers that have joined up with the beast and let their parishioners know, because if my priest was involved in this, I would be out in front of that church with a sign. And, you know, I called my local radio station about this, and they said, oh, it's okay. It's, you know, it's like Katrina. It's to help. And I said, well, why the secrecy then? You know, if it's okay and it's such a, you know, low, well-meaning thing, why the secrecy? Why 20,000 preachers? Believe me, they don't want their names getting out. And I think our, I think that what the opposition to what's happening in this country as far as the loss of our rights and what's happening with our preachers, we need to do what Christ said, which is shine the light on these people. We need to illuminate them. We need people that gather information and put lists, and we need insiders. We need people to go in there and do what they do, infiltrate and take names and put them out. Because when I read this article about this person in South Carolina, I realized that if people knew that people were going to hold them to account for hiring illegal aliens and embarrass them, that you should have heard these people how they were scared, they feared for their life, they were, you know, embarrassed, they can't go to the country club. And I just thought, right on, that man, even though he was arrested for disorderly conduct, which is a farce, well, is a hero to me.
Yes, and I agree with you, Joe, and it seems to me, just taking the illegal immigration issue for a moment, I've been talking about this with a number of people informally in San Antonio. I think it's pretty clear that there's a very, very nefarious alliance that's taking place on this whole issue of illegal immigration. On the one hand, you have corporate America wants it because it provides cheap labor. They don't care how many American jobs it costs. They don't care what further destruction they wreak in terms of destroying both the manufacturing sector of the economy as well as the service sector of the economy as far as driving wages down. They want to maximize profits. They don't care what it does to the economy or to the culture of this country. And clearly, when you see it from that perspective, as more working Americans are deprived of employment, the societal consequences of that should be abundantly clear. But these guys don't care. Then you have the globalist left. And the globalist left, of course, wants to bring the United States into a world government and a new world order. They want to break down any semblance of commitment to the United States as a sovereign nation state. And what better way to do this than to wholeheartedly facilitate what essentially is a foreign invasion? And Pat Buchanan has used those terms. Probably some of the other commentators that agree with Buchanan on this subject have said similar, if not identical, things. We're talking about a foreign invasion here that involves somewhere between 12 and 20 million illegals. And, of course, if those people are given a so-called amnesty, which is what McCain and Kennedy want to do, among others, we would see the fundamental cultural, economic, and sociological character of this country being turned on its head, it seems. And that, to me, is the game plan here. And when you throw into the mix corporate news media and these establishment figures in the American religious scene that are basically paid spokesmen to promote trust in the establishment, you arrive at the very point that we've reached in this country. And the circumstance that you describe in the Carolinas is a microcosm of it.
Well, I personally think that what happened in South Carolina is an example of the way we should fight. Now, little guys like me, we can't go after the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, but we can embarrass our local preacher who's a Judas goat who's helping them. And I think what we have to do trust me, this man who was arrested scared them. He scared the structure because they know they need their enablers. They need their IBM executives. And my point is that We have to hold the local enablers accountable. They have to be the ones when the balloon goes up, and we have to actually start fighting. They are the ones you have to go after. They are the vulnerable ones. They are the grease, the cogs that keep the machine turning. And my point is, I'd love to get a list of these preachers, because if anything represents evil, it is them.
And I don't think there's any question about it.
Just the fact that they work in secret tells you that they are evil, and they are Judas goats, and send them to hell, as far as I'm concerned. Now, when we talk about Romans 13, and I have to admit, I'm on a seesaw in my mind about whether or not when this martial law comes to go violent or to go the quiet way like Christ as a martyr, and I'm having difficulty with it. I don't
yes.
know. I really don't know. But I do want to know. I want to start thinking about what I'm going to do if I do decide that tack. It's a very difficult decision.
Very difficult decision. You're touching on the pulse of something, Joe, that I think should speak to every listener out there. For those who are Christians, of either Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, or Protestant evangelical background, Eastern Orthodox background, whatever it happens to be, it seems to me that when it comes to Romans chapter 13, we find that chapter in juxtaposition with Acts chapter 5, verse 29, where Peter makes the statement, we should obey God rather than men. So there you have it. When you take those two pericopes, Acts 5:29 on the one hand, in the context of the larger discussion of Peter there to the Jewish religious authorities, and then you look at Romans chapter 13, many would argue that there's a tension there that is reflected in the internal tension that you're indicating to us as a part of your circumstance, Joe. What do we do if the scenario that Chuck Baldwin paints for us in this latest essay actually comes to pass? And I think you and I have similar concerns about even the probability that this is going to take place. What do we do as those who support the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? What do we do as people who, hopefully in the right circumstances, and I say the right circumstances, would not cease to put our lives on the line to defend the heritage of this country, the constitutional heritage? Yet, obviously, we are not people who take lightly the notion that we could be involved in something that could cost us our lives violently, and that we might be in a circumstance where, like other American conservatives and Christians, we might have to be involved in defending our families and defending our communities from the Leviathan through the utilization of violent means. That's a very, very weighty issue, especially for those of us who struggle with the entire tradition within Christianity that involves quiet confessional martyrdom. I don't know what the answer is, because I struggle with the same thing, Joe.
Well, I would just like to go back to what I'm trying my major point is about now. It isn't the time to be violent. Maybe in the future it will be, when they start putting people in FEMA camps and gas chambers. I don't think I'd have a problem getting violent then. But my point is, the thing I'd like to stress here is that there's an opportunity here. There is an opportunity to expose 26,000 Judas goats in this country. There is
yes.
an opportunity to shame them, to be out in front of their homes, to be in front of their churches, and to say this preacher works with the beast country that supports homosexuality, the beast country that funds abortions overseas, the beast country. And we can use what they have done to hang them. And I don't mean physically, but I mean spiritually.
Yes.
This is actually, you know, I've always said that the internet is also, it's a wonderful tool, but it's also a way to find groups. It's a net. And at the same time, the government might have made a big mistake here in exposing 26,000 rat Judas goat preachers to their flock. And if we could just get some people on the inside to give us that list and post it everywhere and get people in front of every church, it would be a great victory for us and for the movement and for Christ Church on this great earth.
Yes, and I think what you would quickly discover with your idea, Joe, is that we would see just how many of these guys are worshiping at the altar of the 501c3 IRS tax exemption, in failing to be a witness to the confessional Church of Christ. One person that is already doing a version of what you're talking about, just more narrowly on the issue of Christian Zionism, is Chuck Carlson at We Hold These Truths, which
right.
you can find at WHTT.org. Carlson, of course, has been organizing protests against John Hagee's Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and other pastors and congregations around the country that are promoting this Christian Zionist heresy and what this ideology is being utilized to support in the Middle East. So on that score, it seems to me that Chuck is onto something. But in regard to your suggestion this morning, Joe, it's a fascinating concept that you bring before us, because if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that Carlson's model needs to be expanded to the full panoply of pastors and congregations in this country that are supporting the Leviathan agenda across the board. I've got to take a break, Joe, but if you'd like to stay on the line, stay with me when we come back.
Sure.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking a look at a series of news stories today, including this tragedy of the loss of 16 young American men in a collision of two UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters last night in Iraq. Just more of the same, folks, and most of the intelligent commentators this morning, left, right, and center, are all saying the same thing. How much farther is this madness going to go? A little bit later on the show, we might take a look at this whole hedge funds controversy. We were speaking about that with Greg Felton on Monday. Greg, of course, is bringing to our attention the fact that this whole business of the subprime mortgage controversy and the way in which all of these subprime mortgage loans have been used to create a debt-exposed catastrophe within the securities markets and within the central banking system that threatens to bring the whole house of cards collapsing. That's going to be the basis for some of my comments with Joe here in the next couple of minutes after we do our commercial thing. Richard C. Cook has a post today at globalresearch.ca entitled, "How Far Will the Crash Go? And What Do We Do Now?" That dovetails very nicely with Paul Craig Roberts' essay on the same subject in the American Free Press, the current edition, which we may also yet look at this morning. Alternet also has a very, very important post today entitled, "Subprime Loans, Prime Time for Vampire Lenders." And one of the things that I want to address with Joe here in just a minute or two is the way in which I think the economic collapse that seems to be unfolding may bring about some renewed spine on the part of Christians who have acquiesced in the teachings of some Judas Goats pastors and congregations who say that all is well with America and that we have to support the regime under any and all circumstances, no matter how irresponsible, illegal, and unconstitutional their actions. That's a thesis that will get closer scrutiny and examination in the next few minutes as we continue our conversation with our caller from Florida. Also wanted to say at this particular point in the broadcast, as I do every time that I'm on, this is your opportunity, folks, to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. We need you, and we need you now. Please call us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719 with your gifts. Please contact us online at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Mr. Stattmiller needs you. The hosts need you. All of the other listeners who depend on this broadcast and others like it for the correct information and slant on the news and on news analysis need you. Please support us to the extent that you possibly can. We need you now. We need you ongoingly. The same thing is true for the American Free Press. Our fine friends there, Christopher Petherick, Mark Glenn, Willis Carto, Paul Craig Roberts, Michael Collins Piper, Mark Anderson, the whole crew, looking at the latest edition of the American Free Press, which is dated August 20th. I look at the quality of the essays that are there in contrast to what you're going to get in corporate media, and I'm reminded that we need to support AFP. You can contact them at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. We'll be back with my caller. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. With